I have to tell you what Charlene said about my husband. If he gets tangled up in these cords, it'll curl his last two hairs. You can laugh. He doesn't care. It's just a real privilege to be here tonight with you all and to get to share in this time with you here at the Baptist Union at the University of Oklahoma. This is a really special, special place to us, and we are so grateful to the Lord for what He's doing in and through this BSU. It has been more fun to watch this BSU for the last however many years that we've watched it and seeing the guys and gals come out of this Baptist Union that are really committed to the Lord and really going on with the Lord and are serving Him faithfully where they are. This place, I'm real sentimental. And we dated all over this BSU and all over this campus. And so it's real nostalgic to me to come back. I have a real, in fact, my heart right now is just pounding. And that's not just because of fear of being here, just excitement too. Just excited to be back and to see you all and share this time with you. We've been asked to share some things on Christmas, and we're going about it several different ways. But first of all, just kind of to let you in on what goes on at our house during the Christmas holidays. We have some traditions, but from the onset, let me share that our number one goal is to always make Christ the center of our holidays in our home. If you were to arrive at our house on Christmas morning, you would smell biscuits baking, and there would be fried quail and biscuits. That is tradition. When I married into the Fine family, I was in for a rude awakening. I didn't even know quail existed except, I mean, now I'd read it in the Bible, but I didn't know the quail were still around. And I married into a family of hunters, and we love to eat fried quail. It means work for me, but it's fun. And biscuits and gravy. Provided the quail crop's good. And for you guys that have been all involved in schoolwork and getting ready to go home and getting ready to hunt, the quail crop's the best ever, I hear. At least my husband's been coming home with a few. So that means Christmas morning we'll have quail and biscuits and gravy. But through the years, some of the things that we have done is we've always, well, we came to a decision early on in our marriage to spend more on Christ at Christmas than we do each family member. We make each family member's birthday very, very special. But since this is Jesus' birthday and we celebrate it at Christmas time, we spend more on Christ at Christmas than we do on our family members. And that's been very, very special. Through the years, we've always made it a habit to read the Christmas story at Christmas time together as a family and discuss it. And that has been very, very special. When the boys were little, we don't do this anymore, but when they were younger, we used to bake a birthday cake for Jesus. They've kind of outgrown that. In fact, we've got one that's married that's totally outgrown it. He's moved away, but that was always fun for the little kids at home to bake a birthday cake for Jesus. And one Christmas, we did something that probably, as I look back and think, was probably the most meaningful Christmas I had ever spent, and yet one I had to really think through. And that was, we decided that we would not buy each other anything, but we had become aware of a family who had some very deep, pressing needs. And we decided to take the money that we would spend on gifts and give that to this family. Well, I have always been one who loves to open presents on Christmas. And so I had to really think through that. And I have to admit to you, and I'm grieved at the thought of it, but there was some selfishness in me. And I really had to work on my attitude and really work on giving that with a loving heart, with no strings attached and without any resentment. And I tell you what, that turned out to be one of our most beautiful Christmases ever. As that day approached, as we entered the day, no gifts to open from our immediate family, it just was beautiful to think that another family was being blessed in a special way who had really deep needs. This year, or last year, we started something new, and one of the couples is here from our Sunday school department, and so they know about this. We have started making our Christmas tree a praise tree, and each person that visits in our home during the Christmas season, I give them a little slip of white paper that has a little bow on it, and what I ask them to do is just to jot down what they are praising God for this Christmas season. And hopefully they will put a praise down of just the moral character of God and just who He is. And last year, as we had those little white tags hanging all over our Christmas tree, several people commented to me that that was the most beautiful tree they had ever seen. And the reason being, people would stand gathered around our tree reading the notes of praise to Jesus. And that was just such a beautiful thing to me to do. And so I decided then, Jerry was out of town when I did this, decided then I was going to talk to him and make that a tradition for each year. And so that's what we're going to do.
Marilyn has shared with you some of our Christmas traditions, including the most important one, and that is keeping Christ central at the center of our home, of our Christmas. And, of course, our commitment is not only to keep Christ at the center of our life at Christmas, but to keep Christ at the center of our life every day. And it began for me back here about 32 years ago, here at the BSU, and active at First Baptist Church while we were here in school. And I remember we were in a revival service, and at the close of the service, an invitation was given. And the invitation had special emphasis that night on making a total commitment of your life to Christ, taking hands off of your life and just totally committing your life to Christ and saying, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. All I want to do is be in the very center of your will. And so I really felt like I had done that. But I never had made it public. And there was an emphasis that night on making that decision public. And so I stepped out and walked down the aisle to make that decision public that night. I really didn't think of it as a significant experience. But as I look back on it now, I really view it as one of the most important decisions I ever made. That of being willing to stand up before others and say, yes, I totally commit my life to Christ. I take hands off of it. I'll go anywhere He wants me to go. I'll do anything He wants me to do. All I want to do is walk in the center of His will. After that total commitment, I learned the importance of renewing that commitment every day. And tonight, we want to share something with you that God has just, within the last year or so, helped us to put down on paper. It was something we were practicing through the years, but we didn't have a handle on it so that we could pick it up and pass it on to someone else. But it was such a beautiful experience in our life, this idea of total commitment of your life to Christ, and then the importance of renewing that commitment each day, and how absolutely essential it is to allowing Jesus to be the center and Lord of your life, whether it be at Christmas or any other day of the year, that tonight we want to show you how to do that. Now, some of you are already practicing that, I'm sure. But for some of you, you've just needed something with a handle on it that you could take and began to practice each day of your life. And I'll tell you, if you have a tendency to be negative or pessimistic, the use of this little tool will help you to turn to be optimistic and positive and allow Jesus Christ to be the center and Lord of your life. Marilyn will come and she'll share reminders that prepare our hearts so that we really desire to renew that commitment each day. I need about 10 of you fellows to step up and take a few of these and pass these around, make sure everyone has one, and then she'll come and share.
Daily of his love for me. Every one of us needs love. You know, they say little babies left to themselves without love would soon die. And every one of us needs to be reminded of love. And God's Bible, the Word of God, has been written, and it's God's love letter to us to daily remind us of his love for us. And sometimes we don't listen, or we don't take the opportunity to hear and see that God really does love us in a special way. So the front part of this is designed to prepare our hearts for a commitment to the Lord. And I just want us to walk through these verses. Now, there are many, many more verses that you could add to this. These aren't the only verses. And probably you'll want to do that. You'll want to add verses to this. But these are some verses to help us really see what a wonderful Savior we have and what a beautiful time to be doing this right now during this Christmas season. And so when I enter my quiet time, I always look at God's Word and get a visual picture of what it's saying. And I put myself into the picture and make it personal. That's when God's Word really became alive to me. It was not just a history book and not just rote and not just something to learn so I could go and share with someone else. But it was God's personal love letter to me. And that's when it really started becoming alive to me. So as I read these verses, they are very, very personal. I get a visual picture and I put myself into the setting. So I want us to walk through these verses on the front page tonight and think through that these are preparing our hearts for a commitment, a daily commitment to our wonderful Lord. And the first that we want to consider, and we always want to just put the little word since. Since God has good plans for me, they are plans for good and not for evil to give me a future and a hope. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Today, right now, God has the very best plans for me, and they are plans of good and not of evil. And they are plans that are to give me a future, and they are plans that are to give me hope. You know, a whole lot of the world doesn't have hope tonight. But God has wonderful plans to give us a future and a hope. And I love the next sense. Since God loves me with an everlasting love. In Jeremiah it says, yea, I have loved you. And I just insert my name. Yea, Marilyn, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Wouldn't you just now, in the quietness of your hearts, just fill in your name there. God has loved you with an everlasting love. Since God has good plans for me, and they're plans of good and not of evil, to give me a future and a hope, since he loves me with a wonderful, beautiful, everlasting love, since God is the blessed controller of all things. Nothing is out of control. Sometimes it seems that the world we live in is going out of control, but the Word says that God is the blessed controller of all things. And I love to circle words, and I've got a great big circle around the word all and controller. God is the blessed controller of all things. And since God is the love of my life, and he has called me in accordance with his purpose, therefore, he has promised that all things will work together for good today, for my good. All things, I can count on God. He has plans for good and not for evil. He's the controller, and He's going to cause all things to work together for good, because I'm called according to His purpose. And since I am foreordained to be molded into the image of His Son Jesus, I like what one translation says, I'm marked off as His own. I am foreordained to be molded into the image of His Son. He has purpose for my life. And since nothing, there's not anything that can separate me from the love of Christ today. You know, our love can be separated here on earth from people, but nothing, there's not anything on this earth that can separate us from the love of Christ today. And since through Christ, I am more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror today over trouble, over difficulties, over persecution, over famine, over nakedness, over peril of life, and over the sword of mine enemies. God is making me and has made me a conqueror through Christ. And since today, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. And since I am responsible to bear much fruit today, thereby glorify the Father. This, all of these beautiful scriptures bring me to a place where it's very easy for me to make a commitment to my wonderful Lord and Savior. If I was not assured of these things in my life, I don't believe I could really commit to the Lordship of Christ. I don't really think I could commit to Him to take control of my life, to make plans for my life. But because I have read and I have become more convinced as I've got to know the Lord in a more intimate and personal way, more convinced of His great love for me, it is easy for me, becoming easier each day in each thing, to really make an all-out commitment to the Lord. We have to be convinced of it.
I don't know if you could hear, but let's try something. I'd like for you to talk to me for a minute. When you take a moment to review those thoughts that were just shared with you, those scriptures that were just shared, what does it do? What does it do for you? What does it do in your life when you read through scriptures like this, through thoughts like this? Now talk to me. I get lonely up here if you don't talk to me. Reassuring? Okay, somebody else, quickly, just tell me. What does it do for you when you read through scripture like this?
It renews our minds.
Renews our mind?
Exciting.
It's exciting.
Comforting.
Relaxes you.
Makes me feel loved.
Puts Christ in control. Makes me grateful.
Makes me confident.
Makes me feel honored. Helps me keep my eyes off myself. Encouraging. Somebody else? Well, our purpose here this evening is to share with you Christmas traditions, and we're trying to zero in on the most important tradition in our family, whether it be Christmas or any other day of the year, and that is to allow Jesus Christ to be the very center of our life around which everything else revolves. I'll tell you, when I review these verses, and for years I didn't have it down like this, they were just verses that we had memorized, and they just would go through our mind and through our heart and through our spirit. And God would give us such encouragement. And I know that for many of you, this is a very complex time in your life. You struggle with different kinds of trials and difficulties and temptations. I can't give you much encouragement. As you grow older, those become more complex. And I would say much more difficult. But one of the greatest discoveries in life is to discover that Jesus Christ is everything. There was a time in my life when I realized that Jesus was, or gave me joy, and He gave me strength, and He gave me encouragement, and He gave me comfort, and He gave me peace. But the greatest discovery I've ever made, the deepest truth I've ever learned, is at that point when I learned that Jesus was and is my joy, and He is my peace, and He is my contentment. I think that's why the Scripture says He's the great I Am. You can just add on to that anything you want to. He's everything to us. So when we go through each morning, we've made it a practice since God gave us this in this order several months ago. In fact, we were on a job in California when God really spoke to my heart about putting this down, to put a handle on it, to use in my own life and share with others. We've shared it with a number of other people since then. And you know, we've had a number of people come up to us and say, Jerry or Marilyn, this very simple thing has changed my life totally and completely. This idea of just reviewing each day what a beautiful and wonderful God we have, what a loving Savior we have, what a faithful God we have. And when we're reminded of that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, through Christ. And when we're reminded of all of the other truths that God shares with us, it doesn't leave any room for being negative or pessimistic. And a Christian never has room to be at the point of despair, because despair is the point at which there is no hope. And when you know Jesus, you know that He doesn't just give you hope, He is your hope. And so by reviewing these Scriptures, we come to a point each morning, looking back at the time when we made that total commitment of our life to Christ, that time when we said, Lord, I take hands off my life. I'll go anywhere You want me to go. I'll do anything You want me to do. All I want to do is walk in the center of Your will and be all You want me to be. Looking back at that time, but realizing the importance of renewing that every day, we review these verses. We personalize them, which means, I believe, is the highest form of prayer, which is to take God's Word and to pray it back to God as your own personal prayer. I believe that's what David was a master at. That's what many of the Psalms are. Taking the Word of God and praying it back to God as your own personal prayer. And with that in mind, I want you to turn the page. And I want us to look at the commitment, after we've reviewed these verses, at the commitment we would encourage you to make each day for the rest of your life. I commit myself today to know Him. I commit myself today to yield to the control of the Holy Spirit. I commit myself today to abide in Christ. I commit myself today to glorify Him. I commit myself today to guard against the reasons for unfruitfulness, the cares or burdens of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. I commit myself today to reflect the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faith, meekness, and self-control. And I commit myself today to make disciples as I go. Now let me let you listen in on my quiet time. Okay? I've just read down through those verses on the other side to remind me of God's great love for me and His faithfulness to me and His provision for me. And I turn it over, and on my knees, I'm going to let you listen as I pray with my eyes open, okay? Hope that won't bother you. Dear God, I praise You and thank You for the privilege of being Yours. And Lord, today I commit myself to know You, to progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with You, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of Your person more strongly and more clearly. And Lord, I commit myself to yield to Your control this day. In fact, Lord, right now, I give You the full control of my life for this day. Just guard and guide and direct and help me in every way to walk in a way that would be pleasing to You. And Lord, I commit myself to abide in You today. Lord, just as the branch abides in living union with the vine, so I commit myself today to abide in living union with You, so that Your nourishment and strength and encouragement and all might flow out through You in and through my life. And Lord, I commit myself today to glorify You, to do all to the glory of God. I make that commitment to You this day, in word, deed, attitude, and action. In every way, I commit myself to bring honor and glory to You. And Lord, I commit myself today to guard against the reasons for unfruitfulness. Because, Lord, I don't want to be unfruitful in my life. I want to bear fruit that would be pleasing to You. I want You to so control my life that You could, and so abide in You, that You will be able to produce in and through my life fruit that would be pleasing in Your sight. I commit myself, Lord, to guard against the cares or burdens of this world, the things that have a tendency, God, to weight us down, to overload us, to keep us from being effective for You. I commit myself to guard against the deceitfulness of riches. Help me, Lord, not to be deceived, not to focus on riches. And Lord, I pray, I commit myself to guard against the lust for other things. Help me, Lord, to be very conscious that real true joy doesn't come in the possession, or doesn't come with the possession of things. True joy only comes by allowing You to be the center and Lord of my life, around which everything else revolves. So help me, Lord, to guard against the lust for other things. Help me to be at peace and filled with contentment just because I have You. And Lord, I commit myself to reflect the fruit of the Spirit. And Lord, you know I can't do that unless you do it in me and through me. It's not my nature, my old nature, God, to reflect love and joy and peace and generosity and faith and meekness and self-control. But Lord, that's your nature, and you can do it through me. And so right now, I commit myself for this day to reflect your nature. And Lord, I commit myself to be obedient to what you've told me to do and to make disciples as I go. Help me this day to be faithful to you in making disciples for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now that didn't take long, did it? But I want to tell you folks, that's a very meaningful thing in my own heart and in my own life. To simply take the Word of God and pray it back to God as my own personal prayer. You know, I want to encourage you now. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I am going to give you an opportunity in the quietness of where you are. If you have never in your life made a total commitment of your life to Christ and taken the hands off of your hands off of your life and said, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. All I want to do is walk in the center of your will and be all you want me to be. I thought God would probably call me to be a missionary or something like that. He wouldn't have me. You know, he just wanted me to be a contractor. Well, that's all right, you know. God uses all of us in different ways. He doesn't. He needs you in whatever field you plan to go into. Whatever profession he might have called you into. He needs godly men and women in every one of them. Those who will reflect Jesus. Scripture says we Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. And that's what we need. That's what the world needs. Christians in every profession, in every calling, who reflect the picture, a true picture of Jesus. And I believe it's every Christian's responsibility to make a total commitment of their life to Christ. Lord, I take hands off my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. All I want to do is walk in the center of your will and be pleasing in your sight. Bow your heads, if you would. I want to give you just a moment to think about that. I don't think you ought to enter into it lightly. I think you ought to give it careful, prayerful consideration. But I can tell you this, it's God's desire for your heart and for your life. No place in the Scripture do I find that God desires for us to be half-hearted, partially committed. Total commitment is what He desires of your heart and of your life. If you have made that kind of commitment, the thing I found so helpful about 32 years ago was to make it public. I'd encourage you to let one of your staff members know here that you've made a total commitment of your life to Christ. The next thing I'd like to challenge you to do while your heads are bowed is this. Everyone can do this. Would you commit to take this simple little form, this daily commitment reminder, and to review it every day just through the month of December, just during this month when Christ gave his all for you. I would ask you to take it, to commit to use it every day, and just see what God does in your life. Lord, we love you with all of our heart. We thank you for this privilege. We praise you and thank you for being the center and Lord of our life around which everything else revolves. We thank you for the joy, the peace, the contentment that we have because we know you. Our determined purpose, Lord, is to know you, to progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of your person more strongly and more clearly. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.